would, turn to Luke chapter 19. And before we begin reading the text, if you're able to stand for the reading of the text, if you'd stand, I want to make a comment that today would be Sam Franklin's birthday. And so today we have quite a bit of family here with Barbara Franklin, and we're glad that you're here. And I know that Sam is in glory today, and he is getting to sing to the Lord as well. And Sam at one time led the music here at Mount Selvin Baptist Church. So keep your thoughts and your prayers for Barbara today as she is remembering Sam Franklin, and as we remember him as well. If you'll look at Luke chapter 19, and let's begin in verse 1. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of the cross. And we thank you, Lord, for the message of your grace that is so prevalent in this text. And God, we pray this morning that we have made our heart your home. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a lot of angles and a lot of directions and a lot of things that you can preach from the story of Zacchaeus. And when I was preparing the message today, and in fact, this is our theme for our in-gathering service, March the 4th, and that's why we have the King Joash chest over here to our left. If you remember in the scriptures, they were getting ready to rebuild the temple, and nothing was ever happening. And so they were asking for money to rebuild the temple, and money just wasn't coming in. And so the priests all got together, and the king said, we've got to make a decision. Something's got to happen. So they came up with this idea, and it was a very simple idea, but it worked. They took a chest, our chest, the lid raises up on it, but they had a chest that had a hole bored in the top. And by the way, Jack Fredrickson did a great job on this. He built this for us, and this will be our third time to use this chest. And they bored a hole in the top of it, and they put it at the temple door, and they said, when you come in, if you want to give some free will offerings toward the work of the temple, just drop your money in that hole of that chest. And so that's what that represents. And then we have a tree over here. I started to bring my 22 and do a little squirrel hunting this morning, and Donna Brooks did a fabulous job on this. That is real bark, by the way. And this is representing the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus climbed. And the purpose of this is when we have our in-gathering, the kids have little bags, little cloth bags with drawstrings, and they're collecting up their coins, and they're going to drop their coin bags through the hole of the tree. And then I can assure you, we'll figure out a way to get it out of the bottom of the tree. If we have to bring our chainsaw, we'll get the money out of that tree. I'm just kidding, Donna. I don't want her to think we're going to cut her tree up. But that's why this is out. Quite a few people were involved in making these banners. We made some new banners for this year. Helen Turner and Patsy Barnwell sewed them. Kevin and I made the some of the little details on it and hung the brackets. And then Julie Woolley made these letters. She had a machine that cuts them out, and we wanted something a little bit different. So that's why you see those banners. And this is what we're doing. This is why we are trying to build debt-free. We believe we can build debt-free. Is because we want to build to reach more for Jesus. That's our desire. It's all about Christ. So our text today is about the story of Zacchaeus, and I'm going to make some applications out of this story to the church. And the first one is this, and the title of the message is, we're about to climb And we're about to climb when the congregation is excited about Jesus. Let's look at the first three verses. We're about to climb when the congregation is excited about Jesus. By the way, I don't know of any other thing a congregation ought to be excited about but Jesus. That's why we gather. It's because of Jesus. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He gets right to the point. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now look at verse 3. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. There are several things we can see right here. First of all, he knew that Jesus was coming his way. And if you think about Jericho, Jericho's down in a valley. Jericho is below sea level. You have Jerusalem about 15 miles along a windy pathway that's uphill. And when you're in the valley of Jericho, there is rich plains. There's beautiful trees. I mean, it is a paradise. It was a rich man's area, let me tell you. It was a wonderful place. And so here's Jesus coming up the path. And there's a crowd following him. Now, you need to understand there was the positive aspects of this crowd, and there was the negative aspects of this crowd. Within this crowd, there were some who believed. Within this crowd, there were some who were just following out of curiosity. Within that crowd, there were some who had just been healed. And we had the blind man in chapter 18 of Luke, just before we get to this chapter. And Jesus had healed the blind man, and the blind man began praising God, and he was following Jesus. He was in that crowd. By the way, you can read in chapter 18, and you also see where Jesus tells about where one man went to the temple to pray, and he was a Pharisee. And he began to thank God, and he said, I give of my tithes, and I do this, and I do that. And he says, I'm glad, and he points over at that sinner over there that's in the temple praying too. He says, I'm glad I'm not like that publican over there, that tax collector. I'm glad I'm not a sinner like him. And the Bible says that that publican beat his breast and cried out for mercy and said, I'm a sinner. And he cried out for mercy. And the Lord said he went away justified. Some believe that that person Jesus was referring to could have been Zacchaeus, as Zacchaeus' heart is being drawn to the Savior. But Zacchaeus knows that Jesus is headed his way. Zacchaeus would have been familiar with the territory, and he sees and he hears about the crowd that's coming, and so he goes down there just to see Jesus. Notice it didn't say to hear Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't because of the crowd. So he turns around and he runs ahead of the crowd, and he sees this sycamore tree, and we'll get to that in just a minute. And so he is excited to see Jesus. But in that crowd, there's the 12 disciples, the Bible tells us in chapter 18. So we know that the disciples are in the crowd. So here's all of these people that are in the crowd following Jesus. Now there is negative aspects to the crowd, because whenever Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, they complained at Jesus and said, you mean that you're going to go eat with a sinner? I mean, they just couldn't believe that Jesus would go and eat at a tax collector's house. But I want to tell you, Jesus ended it well, because he said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And Zacchaeus found Jesus. But you know, a church is not ready to climb in faith until the church is first excited about Jesus Christ. When a church gets excited about Jesus, I can assure you God is at work in that congregation. And this is a congregation that is excited about Jesus. Many of you, and I talk to a lot of you during the week by phone and everything else, and I can assure you, this is a church that is always about Jesus Christ. And it makes it a joy to pastor here because of that. And God is blessing Mount Sylvan because of that. But secondly, the cross is elevated in our community. The cross is elevated in our community. The Bible says in John 12:32, and if I am lifted up from the earth, it will draw all peoples to myself. Now, how do we lift up Jesus? Jesus has already been lifted up on the cross. That happened over 2,000 years ago. But ever since he's been lifted, Something happened to Jesus. He was lifted up on that cross, and he died on that cross, and he was buried, and then after 3 days, he rose again, and ever since Jesus Christ rose again, something has happened in this world that the world has never been the same. And you know what that is? It is the power of the gospel message to save a person from the penalty of hell and the penalty of sin. And it is still happening today. And so how do we elevate the cross? We elevate the cross by preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we share the gospel, whether it's through our personal testimonies or our witness, or whether it's in a Sunday school class, or whether it's in this pulpit, wherever we share the gospel, we have to trust that God has taken the power of the gospel, and he is communicating it to sinners' hearts. You say, are you calling me a sinner? Absolutely, I am too. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Every single one of us have to come to the cross. Nobody will get to heaven based on the fact that they're in church every Sunday. Nobody will get to heaven based on the fact that their grandma or their grandpa or uncle or cousin or friend was a Christian. We get to heaven by a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. We get to heaven through a person's name, and Zacchaeus received a person. He received joyfully the person of Jesus Christ into his heart. And that's where salvation comes. So we elevate the cross in our community. Look at verse 3 again. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd. For he was of short stature. Me and Sandra can relate to that. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now I want to talk about this tree just for a brief period here. And he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Notice it's to see him. For he was going to pass that way. Did you know the Bible says those who seek him will find him? It was in the plan of God to find Zacchaeus and to see Zacchaeus in that tree before the foundation of the world. But when we think of a sycamore tree, we think of sycamore trees like we see. But this was a tree kin to the mulberry. This was a wild fig. This was a tree that grew in the foothills. I wish Larry Blaylock was preaching right now because he could do a better job than I could on this tree stuff. But I had to study up on this tree. And these trees are really neat. In fact, they produced a cluster of what we would call date figs or dates. And have you ever heard, you know, in the Old Testament when the Bible says and the spies went across to spy out the land of Canaan and two, Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, we can take this land. And they said, truly indeed, it is a land of milk and honey. Well, these dates, as they ripened, remember Amos in the Old Testament? From Tekoa. Remember on Wednesday nights when we were going through the minor prophets and we preached through Amos, and I made a comment about Jerry because Amos reminds me of Jerry Kindig. Amos was a sheep herder, but he was also a vine dresser of sycamores. And Jerry has cattle, and he also has done the grapevines, and he understands farming and cattle. Well, that's the way Amos was. And Amos, what that meant, the word that was used in Amos 7:14, is that he literally poked holes in the dates of the fruit on the sycamore tree. And the honey and the date would drip out of the sycamore fig, and they would catch that honey. It was very sweet, and it was very good to eat. Therefore, Jericho, the plains of Jericho, was the place, the land of milk and honey. And they would poke the holes, and the honey would drip out, and it would allow that fig to ripen even more. And then if he wanted to really make the figs nice for the really rich people to buy, they would rub those things down with an oil to help preserve them and to help them even ripen more on the tree. That's the kind of sycamore fig that it was. Well, Herod's winter palace was only 2 miles from this land in Jericho. And so whenever excavators in the 60s in Israel were excavating out that area of Jericho, they found a clay vessel. Archaeologists found a clay vessel full of date figs. Well, a date fig has the seed in it. And so they first got those things dated, and they dated them to be over 2,000 years old. And a botanist named Dr. Seymour was a lady, and she took some of those seeds, and she soaked them for several days in hot water to allow those seeds to be able to absorb water again. Then she soaked them for several days in a nutritious solution. And then they planted them. And to her amazement, one of those seeds sprouted and grew. And that sycamore fig, that wild sycamore fig that had perhaps came right out of Jericho. There's a fruit and a seed. That thing is already up so many meters high with six or seven big leaves on it. And they use the leaves for religious purposes. They, in fact, remember the palms that when Jesus came in at the triumphal entry. When we see a sycamore fig here, it's the same as in Deuteronomy chapter 34. If you can remember, Moses didn't get to cross the river and go into the land of promise, but Joshua did. And so God took Moses up on Mount Nebo in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. And he said, Moses, look at, now can you imagine, here's God letting you look at where you've been wanting to go for years. And he's saying, look how beautiful it is. Look at this plains over here. Look across over there to Jericho and look at those beautiful plains. And then the Bible makes a comment about Jericho that he does not make about the other cities in Deuteronomy 34. He calls it the city of palms. These wild sycamore figs were called palms because the bark on them had a special spiral look to them. The leaves were really big. The branches went out horizontally, and they were great big, and they spanned way out. Now, I'm going somewhere with the tree, so keep following me. I've already lost where I'm at. Okay, look at verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now, have you ever tried to climb a tree if you're short? Amen, Kevin. Me too. When you're short and you try to climb a tree, what do you look for? I got lost one night. I was going camping, and I took my cousin that was from the city, and he was probably 13, and we went out in the dead of the winter, and we went way off in the woods, and we decided to go camping. And we went back to get the rest of our stuff, and I pumped the lantern up real good, hung it from a tree limb beside our tent, and we took off, and I thought I knew a shortcut, and it got dark on us. We never found the tent the rest of the night. We never saw the light the rest of the night. And so I said, my exploration mind kicked in. I said, I'll climb a tree, and I'll look around and see where we're at. I couldn't find a tree with a limb low enough that I could climb it. Now, Zacchaeus was a short, wee little man, and he had to find a tree that he could reach the limbs. And he found that sycamore tree along the path where Jesus was coming. Now, there's a spiritual truth for the church. I believe in this tree. I could go even further for how Amos at one time tended these trees years and years and years before, and these trees perhaps would live over 600 years old. But it's interesting. That tree had branches low enough he could climb it. The church is like a tree. Our branches need to extend into the community. The community needs to be able to get a hold of a limb and be able to climb into the tree so that they can see Jesus. That's why we exist as a church. When we're glorifying God as a church and we're lifting up the cross and elevating the cross in our community, our limbs have to hang down low enough that people can get a hold of it. And they can say, listen, through our outreach ministries, through our Sunday school department, through all of our ministries in the church, we have to be able to connect with the community, and our branches have to extend into the community so that they can climb on and see Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus was able to do that. It's powerful. Did you know when Jesus was headed to Jerusalem, flip back to Luke 18:31, it might be on your same page there, but Luke 18:31, I want you to understand what Jesus is doing and where he's headed. Jesus is headed to the cross. Jesus is headed to Passion Week, and he's going through and passing through Jericho for all kinds of spiritual purposes. But also there was a purpose, and it was the salvation of Zacchaeus. Look at verse 31. Then he took the 12, so we know the 12 was in the crowd. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. Notice that word up. Does y'all's translation have the word up? We're going up. That's very important because it's really, literally up. From Jericho, the valley of Jericho, it's up. In fact, I wrote down the sea levels, the difference in that. Jerusalem was at 2,300 feet above sea level. Jericho was in a warm valley, 1,300 feet below sea level. Quite a difference, isn't there, between the bottom of that valley and to the hill of Jerusalem. And Jesus said, we're going up. We're going up to Jerusalem. You know, it's interesting that even those trees would only grow in climates that were warm and climates that had a lot of water, and Jericho provided that. So Jesus says in verse 31, he says, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished." Jesus is saying, guys, you're fixing to witness one of the greatest events in human history and for all generations and for all time. He's saying literally the prophecies, the Old Testament scriptures concerning the Messiah and the coming of the Messiah, those scriptures are fixing to be fulfilled right before your eyes. Prophecy is about to be fulfilled. And they head to Jerusalem, and I mean every little detail through the cross and the resurrection is fulfilled where it was prophesied of those events. All the way to the donkey that Jesus rode into town on. All the way to the 30 pieces of silver that Judas had betrayed him with. And so these disciples that Jesus pulled to the side, they didn't quite understand all this, the Bible tells us. The point I want to make is this. After the resurrection, all of these things made sense. They remembered, is what the Bible says. They remembered. They remembered what Jesus had said right here in verse 31. They remembered it. And they got excited about the Savior. And they waited for Him those 10 days when He came at Pentecost. Remember, Jesus ascended to heaven on day 40, and then on day 50 at Pentecost, He came back. And they waited those 10 days in the crowd, excited about the coming of the Savior. And the Spirit came, and the message went out, the good news of the gospel. And that good news is still being preached today, that Jesus died, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day to forgive us of our sins. So it takes a congregation excited about Jesus. The cross is elevated in our community. But look at the last one. The confession is evidenced by a changed life. You know what makes the church powerful? Is when the church has a testimony. If we all just showed up and we didn't have a testimony, we'd have a problem. But I want you to know that if we started standing up right now giving our testimony of our salvation experience, our testimony of what God did for us today, what God did for us yesterday, how God got us through this and how God gave us discernment and direction, how God did this and how He did that, the testimonies would go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why? Because Jesus is working in your life. It takes a confession that is backed up by a changed life. If your life has not been changed by Christ, then you need to repent of your sin and look to Christ and get that straightened out. Because Christ, He comes inside of us to give us a new nature and a new call. Look at what happened to Zacchaeus. In verse 5 he says, "And when Jesus came to the place," by the way, if you were saved at a really young age, it's harder to remember sometimes the place and the exact things that surrounded your salvation because of your age. But if you were saved at a little older age, it's really easy to remember. But I want you to understand, when Jesus saved you, you were saved at a place. Think back in your own life where you were saved. Maybe it was in VBS. Maybe it was at a revival. Maybe it was in church and it was at an invitation time during a service. Maybe you heard the message on a radio. I met a lady recently. It was through reading the gospel in a book. I've got a friend that was reading a gospel tract at home that I'd given him at work. And he got saved and gave his life to Jesus. I saw a man give his heart to Jesus and his wife follow that right there on his back porch. I was witnessing to the husband and the wife. The husband was about to give his heart to Jesus, and I looked over and the wife was over there crying. And the wife says, "I haven't given my heart to Jesus." And I said, "You can do it right now." And her husband both gave their hearts to Jesus, and I was able to baptize them. You were saved at a place. Zacchaeus was at a place, and that place is an encounter with God. That tree was to help Zacchaeus encounter God. The tree of our church is to help others encounter God. The purpose of this church and the purpose of our ministries is so that the people in the world, the people in the community, and the people in the church can encounter the Lord. That's the purpose of our church. And so he came to the place. That was the place. That was the place that was ordained of God. It was a divine place. And I want you to see something. He looked up. Did you know that Jesus sees us first? He looked up. The Lord comes to you first. He's seeking to save that which is lost. He comes to your heart and He begins to woo you and draw you to the Lord. I can remember, and I've told this a bunch of times, but it's so powerful, it comes to my mind every time. But the guy in Amarillo, you remember I'd gone to Amarillo to witness to a man that was dying of cancer. And the man refused the gospel. He didn't want to hear it. And man, I was just heartbroken when we left because we had prayed, Teresa and I had prayed for weeks, got a hotel reserved, went up there and witnessed to him, and he didn't want to hear it. And he didn't want the gospel. And I said, Teresa, why would the Lord bring us up here and his heart be so hard? And I was in tears when we left. And the Lord put on my heart to go see a man that was a welder on the project we was working on when we built the prison in Amarillo. And I went by his house, and he was an elderly man, but he was a great welder. And he used the Lord's name in vain every breath. And I wanted just to go see him. And so we pull up, and it's not the best side of town in Amarillo, and Teresa's making sure all the doors are locked. And this guy in front of us was in a van, and it had Oklahoma license plates sitting by the curb. He was parked by the curb. And that was a place for this man. He had come in. He was a son-in-law, and he had come into town, and he was going by to see them, and he was doing the same thing we were, waiting on them to get home. And he got out of his van. He walked up to the car, and you know what he said? This man didn't say, "Who are y'all?" He didn't say, "Who are you waiting on?" He walked up and he said, "You know, I was just sitting in my van wondering what eternity is all about." You tell me that wasn't a place. I nearly did a backflip into the back seat to get my Bible. We got out on the curb and we sat down on the curb and I led him to Jesus on that curb. And the Bible says when Zacchaeus got saved, Jesus says, "I'm staying at your house." Now, I got a feeling Zacchaeus ran ahead of him, and he opened the door and let him in. You've got to open the door of your heart and let Jesus in. And David Irwin pulled up, and we went in his house. And we got in there, and I shared my testimony and how Jesus had gloriously saved me. And I shared how he had saved Daryl out on the curb. And I said, "And he can save you too. That's what he came to do." And did you know that whole household gave their heart to Jesus? Right there in that home. And I want you to know that's what Jesus does. There is a place. And it may be that today, this morning, this is your place. That God has spoke to your heart and you haven't given your heart to Jesus. This is your place and it's divine prepared from heaven. That you can give your heart to Jesus. Look at the rest of the story. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And said to him, "Zacchaeus." By the way, isn't it interesting? He knew Zacchaeus' name. Zacchaeus didn't have to say, "Hey, Lord, I'm up in this tree because I'm a wee little man and I couldn't see you, so I climbed up. And by the way, my name is Zacchaeus." He didn't have to say any of that. "And by the way, my name means righteous." That's what it meant. Isn't that an irony? And so Jesus walks up and he says, "Zacchaeus." Let me tell you, Jesus knows your name. When Nathanael was under the fig tree, remember Jesus is calling his disciples and here comes Nathanael over there, and he says, "Nathanael, I saw you when you were under the fig tree." I don't know what was happening under that fig tree. Maybe Nathanael was having a time of prayer, or maybe he was wrestling with the coming of the Messiah. I don't know what it was, but it was a spiritual moment that Nathanael had under that fig tree. And Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree." I believe that God was in the tree business because it was at a tree in Adam and Eve where man first fell. Whenever the waters were bitter, it was a tree limb stirred in the water that made the waters to be whole again. Whenever the axe head, whenever the prophets, the sons of the prophets were building the seminaries, the Old Testament seminaries for schools, one of the guys had borrowed an axe. That's like borrowing a 580K extender hoe. He had borrowed an axe and the axe head flew off the handle. And the axe head went out in the middle of the water and it fell all the way to the bottom. And that son of the prophet was scared to death. He had done lost somebody's axe head. That was a big deal. That's like the whole backhoe going off in the river. And so Elijah goes over there and they stir a stick in the water a few times off of a tree. And what happens? The axe head floats. God uses trees throughout scriptures. Aaron's rod was made from a tree. Moses' staff was made from a tree. All of these things came from a tree. Zacchaeus was in a tree. Nathaniel was sitting under a tree. Next time you see a tree, pay attention to it. This morning when I left, we've got a tree in our... We got two trees on my property. Two trees. We call the tree in the front yard Miss Maple. It's a maple tree. We call the tree in the backyard Mr. Oak. It's an oak tree. And me and Madeline talk to the two trees every morning. How you doing, Maple? Hang in there, Maple. You're growing. Hang in there. Looky there. Oak can see over the privacy fence now. We talk to our trees. And tree, the moss grows on the north side. God does not waste anything in his creation. And his creation tells a story. It's very important. And so he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. That's how we receive Christ. We receive him joyfully, and Christ receives us joyfully. Look at verse 7. But when they saw it, they all complained. This is the negative side of the crowd. They all complained. There was a negative aspect that they couldn't understand a Savior that would be a guest with a sinner. They murmured, by the way, a great sin. In the eyes of God, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. He sure has. He's gone to be a guest with me. I'm a sinner. He's come to be a guest with you, and you're a sinner. That's what Jesus has come to do, to save and to seek that which is lost. Verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord. Now, you got to put yourself in this scene right here. Here they are in the scene. Zacchaeus is bound to be overhearing these guys complaining to Jesus. They're saying, good grief, Jesus. What is he doing? Good night. He's fixing to go and stay at the tax collector, the chief tax collector's house. They despise Zacchaeus. Being a Jew and also collecting their taxes, but doubling the tax, tripling the tax from what was really due so he could become rich. He was considered the chief of tax collectors. He was super dejected, super despised. And they couldn't believe that Jesus would go and have anything to do with him. Zacchaeus, his heart has been changed. His confession is real. It's not just a run through the motions. It's a real confession. And he hears these things being said, and he looks at Jesus. Notice who he looked at. He didn't receive a religion. He received a Savior. He looks at Jesus, and he says to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. Y'all, he's doubling the law requirement of the Old Testament. He says, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I'll restore fourfold. He's saying, I'm going to give back fourfold, Jesus. And he's doing it cheerfully, and he's excited because he feels that he's been changed, and he's new, and he's different. He's not the same Zacchaeus that crawled up that tree as the Zacchaeus that came out of that tree. And that's what happens when you come to that place where you meet Jesus. Look at verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today, not tomorrow, not next week, not after you prove to me that you're good enough. He said, today salvation has come to this house. He says, because he also is a son of Abraham. I could preach a whole message right there. But just to boil it down, Abraham was justified by faith. The Bible says, and it was accounted unto him unto righteousness because he believed. All it took for the Pharisee, all it took for the Sadducee, for the one that couldn't see or could see, is it took faith in Jesus Christ. Look how he ends it. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I want to share something real quick as we prepare to close. I believe that this church exists by the hand of God. I truly believe it. There are some churches that sometimes I wonder how they were started. And then there are some churches that you can see that God had a hand in it. This church is 140 years old. It was founded in 1878 by John S. Bledsoe, first pastor, and 59 congregational members that had made sure their letters were in good standing and they were ready to move them here to start this church, Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. It was started through prayer, but I want you to know something about John Bledsoe and a little bit about the second pastor so that you can understand the importance of why we're having in-gatherings. I do not believe that it's right to strap a church with a lot of debt. And we're doing projects. We do an annual in-gathering. I don't beat y'all over the head from the pulpit every week. Jim, did you give to the Lord today on the church work? Did you give to the church building today? We don't do that. We trust God, the Holy Spirit moves in your heart, and you give as he tells you to. We don't have a goal for this year's in-gathering of how much to receive. Because the goal is this, that your gift pleases God. If it's a faith and it pleases God, it doesn't matter if what you can give is a dollar. Maybe somebody else can give $10 and somebody else can give $20. But the goal is not how much money we raise at the in-gathering. The goal is that God was pleased with what we gave as individuals. That's the goal. Because we put that money into the hands of the Savior, and it's His job to multiply it to build the building. It's our job to give our 5 loaves and 2 fish from a heart of faith. It's His job to multiply it to build the building. And y'all, He's doing that. I'm amazed at where we already are in our building fund. Just coming from gifts and free will offerings. It's growing and it's growing fast. And God is opening doors for us. But I want you to know, I truly, from my heart, I believe that God has a divine purpose and that this church is in a divine place, just like that tree for Zacchaeus, to reach people in this community. And I believe that we can extend our branches into this community just as it already is happening. And we can reach this community for Christ. John Bledsoe pastored here from 1878 to 1883. Listen to this. Not only did he pastor here, he even pastored at New Harmony for a time. He pastored over at Mount Carmel for a time. He pastored the second year of First Baptist in Tyler. He came here and pastored here. He left here and went to Snyder, Texas, way up there, horseback. Snyder, Texas, a big church now, First Baptist Church of Snyder. And pastored there and helped found it. By the way, that church was called Bledsoe Baptist Church for almost 10 years before they renamed it First Baptist Church of Snyder because of the growth in the community. I want you to know God used a church planter to found Mount Sylvan. Second pastor that was here at Mount Sylvan, W.G. Caperton. You can read in the Smith Baptist Association's historical records or even in the Texas Baptist records and you'll see his name show up all over the place. W.G. Caperton was also a pioneer preacher in founding churches. Helped to found Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. First Baptist Church of Zavala, which is now First Baptist Church of Troop, because it's now called Troop. These men were godly men who were busy serving the Lord. The university, you might not remember it, but if you live to be, if you're at least 140 years old, you'll remember this. There used to be a university in Tyler called Tyler University. John Bledsoe, our first pastor, was on the board of trustees for that school. Tyler University was started by the Cherokee Baptist Association. They got permission. He had sent a letter to the Texas Baptist, to Mr. Baines, and he requested, I've got a copy of the letter, he requested that they do a study to put a Baptist school of some sort in East Texas. Because people needed to learn. He said, our sons need to know the Bible better than we do. So they'll be better prepared to equip their generation. And so it finally came to pass. They built that school. It caught on fire. About 10 years later, burned down. And it became 2 other things. Another story for another day. But the truth is, we had a visionary and a missionary at heart that started Mount Sylvan. I would have loved to have been there when those 59 people, and they gathered around and they prayed for the future of Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. Folks, what we're doing in 2 weeks is an eternal thing. And it's sowing into the future of Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. Give as it pleases God. There's no goal. We're going to be happy whatever the amount is because it's His job to bless it. Let's